Hi, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode number 611. I had done a recording, and it just recorded badly, so I didn't keep it. Now, I don't mean I said things I shouldn't have said. I mean the actual recording was horrible, so I didn't keep it. And I know that the way I record things is three-quarters of the problem. I mean, I've got bad circumstances, but I'm also recording at a very low bitrate MP3, and these things just don't come out so hot. So I did it. But I'm going to talk about the same thing right now. It was supposed to be episode 610, but it didn't end up being that way. Now, we're doing 611, and it's going to be, because I have the right equipment with me today, we're going to talk... I'm making an appeal to you. I'm making an appeal to you, and I'll tell you a couple of reasons why I am. Number one, I like my job. I like my job for a couple of reasons. Number one, it's steady. Number two, it allows me a bit more time than some other jobs do. I don't do a manual labor job that's just, shoveling, digging ditches all day long, which requires your attention and your constant effort. I have a job where I only come running when you have an emergency. And if there's no emergencies going on, you know, I've got projects to keep me busy, but it's to a degree, it's something of free time. And, of course, I'm in this car, and I've got lots of free time in the car because I can't really do anything else while I'm operating a motor vehicle. I've got to have my hands have to be free. My eyes have to be out and going. I get tired of listening to the radio, so I started making my own radio. So here I am making radio in the car. But it doesn't seem to be answering some deep need within me. And this episode is kind of a plea, for lack of a better word, to help me out. A couple of weeks ago, I decided, and I don't know if I've really talked about too much about the affirmations. I think I have, about what I wanted to do, and. My plea is to have you guys help me, continue to help me, on this quest I have to get into public speaking, to get into and public speaking is just one possibility. If it works into radio, I guess that's okay. Although I think that's somewhat dangerous because you can lose advertisers really fast. And that's always tricky. I think it's much more useful to be a public speaker. I think, I'm not trying to get rich. I'm just trying to answer almost the urges within me. And I want to talk about that a little bit because I've found that as I've looked with the spare time that I have sometimes, I've looked at different people. Now, because I'm in the field of computers and I'm paid to do computers, I tend to look in the field of computers for examples of people who have done well for themselves, who have kind of transcended what they were doing to a different level. I would love to transcend and do more than what I'm doing now because I feel somewhat constrained and, a whole lot of times when people call me with their problems, they're on the small side. Jay, there's this problem. Will you come and fix it? And it's like, oh, God, I can't believe, pity Annie stuff. A 16-year-old could come and fix a lot of those. And, I'm not dismissing my job at all because I'm sorry, it pays the bills. I'm grateful for it. But, yeah. I think I have more skills and more abilities than my job is currently using. And for some reason, my my work, what I spend the bulk of my time doing, needs to be the stuff that takes care of those needs. Anyway, so, alright. Let me give you a couple of neat examples. And in that, I guess you can see what really impresses me. Now, I don't know if ultimately I would care one way or the other, because it doesn't usually change a mind. To have, like, say, for instance, an honorary degree from somewhere, an honorary doctorate. But you know what? I wouldn't mind having a couple of those. Just because people always say, Jay, why didn't you keep going in college? Why didn't you continue on and get your PhD or something? And I always felt like that in doing that, I would have sold out on something. You know, to get a PhD in philosophy presupposes that I've spent a lot of time being a student of certain kinds of philosophy. And I never really wanted to do that. I never really wanted to make that happen. If I was going to get a PhD, I wanted to do it the Albert Einstein way, sort of. You know, he went to college. Now, we don't have an analog in our system to what Albert Einstein did. He went to college, he graduated, and then he wrote a paper, and out of that paper he got his notoriety. You know, it didn't come from the fact that he went to school for many years and he got this honor for being in school. I don't want to downplay the kind of work that's required to get a PhD. I'm just saying I would rather have I would rather get there a different way. And I have, you know. I'll have to tell you about my brother here in a minute, but let me tell you some interesting circumstances that make me think. I think I've already talked about Jaron Lanier, I don't know how he pronounces it, and what he did. He mostly did it through just being an over-the-top business person, being an evangelist. A lot of people tend to do that, you know. Steve Jobs is not a college graduate. He never was. He found what he was wanting to, he found the star he was wanting to chase, and he started chasing it, and he walked away from what would be considered to be the normal course of quote-unquote success. You know, these are the kind of people that you go to. Let me tell you a story about my brother. My brother Joe. My brother Joe's a good guy. He is a good, steady, stable guy. Joe doesn't take risks, particularly. My brother went to school at a midline school. I went to a pretty low grade school, state school. Certainly not the best state school, not the second or the third. It was fourth or fifth. But I don't care. I just needed that piece of paper to get me started. I'm sorry. Anyway, he went and got his master's degree. He got in auditing. I think he was doing it because he saw my uncle. My uncle was a great financial success. Now, he wasn't a great financial success because of his degree. He and some people he knew started a company. He was the chief financial officer of it. He was an accountant. I don't know if he was an auditor, but he had his master's degree in accountancy, I believe. Anyway, and Joe saw that, I guess. Now, I'm speaking as an outsider. Joe would probably have a whole different outlook on it. This is just my take on it. So if you really want to know the truth of the matter, I'd ask Joe. Don't ask me. This is just my perspective on it. Anyway, Joe has always traditionally done what was expected of him. You know, and so he was given the whole college thing, and he went out and he did the college thing. You know, he did that. He's an auditor today. He works for a corporation, happens to be the LDS Church, which is a big employer where he lives in Utah. He wanted to live in Utah. You know, that's where he went to school. He did the typical internship at some big big accounting firm, doing auditing there, you know. And after he was done with that, he pretty much just, he wanted to get back to Utah. So that's where he went, and he went to work for the LDS Church. Very stable. This is not a company that's going out of business. It's not risky. Very conservative outfit. And he is a very conservative, kind of middle-level type person. I don't think he's a manager of much at all. He's a, you know, he's just an auditor, as far as I'm aware. I think he finally got a job where he's got a little bit more prestige, but not a whole lot, and he's finding out that it's just what he was doing in his old job plus some more things. Anyway, I once had a conversation with Joe. It was after some gathering that we went to together, and I don't go and see Joe very often. Not because I don't like him, but just because we live so far apart, and we honestly live very separate lives. You know, we don't have a lot to bring us together, and we have 1,000 miles between us. A reasonable reason not to get together very often. Anyway, we had gotten together. This was some time ago. I don't even know what job I was doing. I may have been between jobs. There's a reasonable possibility that was true. Because in the past, and probably in the future, I will be between jobs. You know? My wife is very happy that I've got steady work and she wants me to keep with it, but it's starting to creep up on me again, the fact that, you know, this isn't going to be my terminal job. My wife wishes it would be because, you know, it's got a pension fund to it. It's got health insurance. It's got all the things that make a wife feel secure and feel like her life isn't just topsy-turvy. And I understand that, and I want her to feel that way. So, you know, I try to proceed carefully. And I always have tried to make, just for Lisa's benefit, my own personal protection was of lesser value to me than that. Anyway, we went to this fast food place. Who knows? Carl's Jr. Something like that. Anyway, and I guess Joe brought me in there to kind of straighten me out. He thought he was going to, you know, he thought he was going to help me. I think this was after the boat job, or was it before? I don't know. Anyway, I was kind of scurrying around, hunting for money, maybe. And what Joe was saying was, Jay, you need to go back to school. You know, he probably thought I was flighty and silly, and that the best advice was to get more grounded, to be to be more like him, you know. He was giving advice. Now, Joe worked with youth, he still does, as a church calling, and he, you know, so he's a scout, stuff like that, so he's in a position of getting lots of advice for growing up, and the normal church line, and it isn't a bad one. I'm not saying it's bad advice. It is to get as much education as you can, and mostly to be pretty stable. Now, that's a smart thing to give to most people. You don't want to give them a bunch of crazy, willy-nilly, nutso ideas, because a whole lot of people can't live up to that. So anyway, he was telling me to go back to school and get my master's in something. He was talking about social work. Ugh. I'm sorry, not to denigrate those of you who are in social work, but I'm sorry. I don't find that inspiring at all. Just what social workers end up having to do just offends me, especially if you work for the state. You will end up getting sucked into Child Protective Services, be a child snatcher, you know. And I've never, I shadowed that kind of person for a little while. Lots of paperwork, lots of just distasteful things that turn your stomach. And it turned my stomach. I didn't want to do it. I had no interest in going in that direction. Anyway, so he was telling me to go back to school, you know. It didn't really seem to matter what I was going into. The whole point was you needed to have that master's degree to get to that level. And I have to say that I pretty much brushed him off. And I don't know if that was kind of me, But honestly, it ends up being my life and my family's life, you know, my wife and my children and what we want to accomplish for ourselves. And I'm not here to preach for one thing or another. I'm just here to share my experience on these things. And I'll tell you what happened. When I got out of school, the first steady, good, solid job I think I had... Well, no, that's not true. The one that I stuck with the longest, my first long-term one, was, I guess, with the WIC program, working for the state/federal government, handing out WIC checks. And the pay was better than minimum wage. I'm sorry. It was better than that. So I was doing that, but I started to get that urge. There was something more. There was something more I was supposed to be doing than just doing that. And I'm not saying that urge comes to everybody. Okay? I'm not saying that. I am saying that if you do have that urge, staying in that job will make you nuts. And I was. WIC bored me to tears. I was happy when I wasn't doing the job and I had free time to do something else. Kind of the way I'm feeling now. Sad. Oh, no, not sad. The only sad part is if I continued to do that for 5 or 10 years, as opposed to when I started getting those feelings, doing something about it. I was working at WIC. Now, in order to get any further up in the echelon, you know, to become a manager or to become, you know, get a higher pay grade in what I was doing, I would have had to have moved to a bigger town so that I could, you know, become the manager of an office, you know, be a manager, and then you kind of go up from there. And it wasn't going to happen with me and Tooth & Carry. Lisa had decided that Tooth & Carry was where she wanted to be, so. You know, I could have pressed the point and we could have moved if it just wasn't going to work out. There's been opportunities when we could have, and we haven't taken those opportunities yet. And I hope, you know, I hope to have more freedom so I don't feel constrained. If I want to stay in Tooth & Carry, which I'm really kind of indifferent to, I can. But this wonderful opportunity came up. The boat job. Now, it wasn't all of a sudden this gilded cage happened. Or no, this gilded opportunity happened. It was just some guy who said, hey, we're looking for people that have technical skills, and I wasn't doing a job that had any technical skills in it. I would fool around with computers at work, but that was basically it. Anyway, so I got that job. And I'm sorry, that job was an adventure. That job was, if nothing else, it was humbling. Because I was starting to feel pretty good about myself at WIC because I was pretty good at that job, you know. It was a people job. The job I went on PGS wasn't particularly a people job. It was about being able to technically do something, and I was getting stretched hard by that job. I was being asked to do things. I was going, well, I guess in theory I kind of know about it, but, you know, really I'm not that. I didn't have that background, but boy, did I get some experience fast. And is it something that's impressive? Yeah, it's something that's impressive. I came back. I did a few more things. I taught school for a little bit. I worked for a child care training thing and became kind of a training specialist, child care specialist. I went to... I did contract work for the state, you know, grant writing, research, stuff like that. Just did a whole lot of different things, and it's really funny. At each one of those levels, I would do something that was really far beyond what the normal progression would be. Like, take for instance, when I was a child care center director, I was a horrible one. I was totally unsuccessful. But ultimately, I got into a job where the people that I worked with were very successful child care center directors. And I was suddenly in a position where I was on their level. You know, I was speaking at the same training sessions they were speaking at. I was giving people the same kind of advice from my experience that they'd had, although my stuff was from a standpoint of being a failure. I was a total failure at being a child care center teacher or a director. Absolute. But yet, I was at that echelon when I became a training specialist. I had all the little pieces of paper that one needed. I was a developmental specialist too. You know, I had all those things. And it was interesting. After I did a lot of these interesting things, you know what happened to me? I was having troubles finding work after I had done contract work for the state. You know, the contract ended, and I didn't try to go after it again because I was really wanting to do something else. And the money was sketchy. It was making me really nervous. I was trying to do my own business, doing computer stuff, and it wasn't happening. I'm pretty sure I was doing it wrong. I've always been somewhat of a failure at business, and that's okay. A lot of fine people are failures at business, you know. A lot of very successful people are failures at business. And when I talk about my experiences, I'm often talking about experiences from my failures, not from my successes, which is often kind of funny. Anyway, I decided to go back and take a look at state jobs with stuff that you know, you try to go after jobs for which you're qualified. I turned down an interview, which I think I would have done quite nicely in, for a Nutritionist 4 job. When I was at WIC, I was a Nutritionist 1. Usually it takes several years of going up through the ranks in WIC before they would even begin to consider you for a Nutritionist 4 job, but I was a serious contender for it. I didn't end up taking it because the pay wasn't as good as what I was going to get at Los Alamos. And I took the Los Alamos job because it had so much of a brighter income future, although the circumstances weren't so hot. You know, I couldn't afford to live in Los Alamos. Anyway, it was really interesting. And my brother has over the years, he was just here maybe about 6-7 months ago, and one of his concerns was the fact that he had kind of reached some sort of a weird ceiling. He wants to rise up in his company, but some guy took him aside, you know, one of the people that's a couple of levels over him, you know, up the chain, and they said, Joe, you're not going to get considered for this stuff because, you know, you really don't have any industry experience. You're just sitting here as an auditor, as a, you know, just an auditor, not a manager. He's taken all the coursework to try to get some management things because that's ultimately what he's hoping to do, I think, is to become a manager. And he said, Joe, you're going to have to go and take some chances. You're going to have to go out there. You have to take some risks. And, you know, that's a tough thing for Joe. It's not tough for me anymore because I've taken risks so often, it's almost like second nature to me. Well, we'll just give this a shot and see how it goes. Now, I'm not horribly risky, but I'm willing to take chances that a lot of people don't choose to take. And does that end up being the real separating mark? I suppose so. A lot of people don't have any interest there. They want steady work. They want to be able to go home at night, kick up in front of the TV, and enjoy what free time they have. If they have a job that gives them enough money to do that, they're happy. But then there's people like me who just don't seem to be easily satisfied that way. And I've found that I'm never like that. My wife, Lisa, she is. She's steady. You know, if she, you know, she has her work to do, she's happy when her work's done and it's taken care of. She's often unhappy if she just doesn't have the gumption to get up and get housework done. But I'm sorry, I don't blame her. Housework's uninspiring. I couldn't live my life just doing housework. I would be wanting to bust out so much that I couldn't hardly stand it. And I'm not a person that gets into their hobbies, because I don't have very many hobbies. I guess the only hobby I have is computers, and it's kind of a love-hate, what is it accomplishing for me sort of a relationship. I think of it as kind of a phase. I'm hoping I get past it. You know? Computers have always been a tool to me, a tool to accomplish what I want to do. And it's a communication tool. And I also use it for advertising, for promotion when I can. Anyway. So, my brother's hitting this ceiling, and he talks to my mom. He doesn't talk to me much about it, because I'm sure it doesn't make him feel good, because it's like, you know, one could almost construe that stirring the tables. Jay seems to have had the better plan, ultimately, because I'm hoping that this is that what I'm doing here, this podcast, these other things, become something bigger. You know, I do. What if my goal is to get an honorary doctorate from somewhere? From somebody giving you advice, and from somebody coming and saying, this is something that you need to do. Come on tour, let's do these things. Or let's inspire these people, for those people who want to be inspired. A lot of people don't. A lot of people just want to get enough money to get by and have some of the trinkets they've always wanted. And that's really meaningless to me, personally. I could care less. It's all about trying to satiate some horrible need within me, you know? And you can call it a need for greatness. I don't know what it is, but it's there. It's like this hunger, and you've got to go out and feed yourself. And I'm trying to do that. And maybe that's happening to my brother, but, you know, he's 3 years down the road further than I am. He's got a much bigger mortgage than I do. He's, you know, and I don't want to say he's timid, because he's not. He's not a timid person. He's gotten himself into a pretty deep rut. And you know, it's got to be hard. You know, it's easy to see the frustration on him. And I understand, because I feel that frustration too. I've done things about it in the past, and I need to do some more things about it. And you guys can help me. You wonderful people that listen to this podcast, you can help me by making this, by, you know, if you know somebody who's saying, we really need a speaker for this or for that, I'll come and speak to you. And let me tell you, since I'm starting out, hey, I'm willing to come for practically the cost of coming, because I'm hoping to build up a speaking reputation. I'm hoping to, you know, do these things. Now, you might not know how I am as a speaker, because although I do have tons of experience at it, because, you know, Mormons don't have paid clergy, people like me speak in front of people all the time. And we tell stories and stuff like that. You've heard me tell stories, and here it is. Some people find me pretty entertaining, and I like that. That's good, you know. If he's a boring speaker, he's not gonna stay in the business too long. You know? Now, I'm not going to speak as in business-wise. Well, I guess I could. If you guys want me to try to speak up some kind of product, then you have to understand that I'm not very product-based. I'm not a very excited person when it comes to that. But when it comes to the philosophical stuff, when it comes to those kind of things, oh, hey, I'm your man. And I'm like, and I'm somewhat folksy and some people say it's just kind of fun, because Jay's got fun stories to tell, and he makes up those interesting analogies. You've heard some of my interesting analogies. Some of them are good, some of them aren't so good. And I'm willing to tell you, oh my gosh, diesel is now 4:15 in Clovis, New Mexico. Gee whiz, we've gone over four. This is another reason why I need to do this. I need to keep getting my income up because I've got to stay ahead of inflation. I can't just stay at the same job doing the same thing for the simple reason that I don't want to do it. And I don't want to become a manager. I've seen myself as an administrator, as a manager, and I don't like me. And I don't like what I feel compelled to do. And it's my compulsion to feel that way. Anyway, so, there's that. I'm hoping that you'll want me to come and speak to you. I'll tell you one thing. I will guarantee that you won't regret it. That you won't regret it. I have no problem coming and filling in last minute. If somebody drops out and all of a sudden you've got a hole, I'll be glad and happy to fill that hole for you. You have to give me a couple of days notice because I'm going to get the time off. Hopefully it's not anything that's going to, you know, that's going to take care of my job. Because I'll be doing my same job now, because I promised that to my wife, until we see that there's enough money coming from this stuff. I have to pay for my travel, of course. And for my meals, you know, I'm going to have travel and per diem and place to stay. And you're going to need to pay me a little bit. You know, you can't just get me for nothing. Here at the beginning, it won't be much. Let me know. Call me up. My phone number, hey, here's a first. Here's Jay's phone number. If you want to contact me in the official way, my phone number is area code 575-461-2716. You'll always get an answering machine. It's my daughter's voice on the answering machine. You'll always get that. Please just leave a message, and I will get back to you as soon as I can. Also, leave me your contact number. However you want to be contacted is a good time to call you, and I'll make a point to do that because I really want to do this. And I really want it to be worth everybody's while, including mine. This is, help me feed my need here. And I'll appreciate it. I'll make it worth your while. I'll make you glad you did it because this is what I want to do. And I've been in that business for quite a while. This is Jay Nemro. Oh, wait, no. I've got it. Well, let's save it for the next thing here. My name is Jay Nemro. You can contact me however you want to. Autism, AUTISM, at Quix, QUIX.US. Or you can call me, 575-461-2716. I would love to speak to your group, or to a group, to any group. Pay for me to be there, and I'll make it worth your while. And here at the very beginning, I'm sure the rate will be great. If you feed me and get me there and put me up somewhere, I much prefer motels. And it doesn't have to be a great motel. If you see the places I've stayed at, you've seen that you don't have to. You don't have to put me up at the Ritz. You know, I'm perfectly fine at Motel 6 is pretty high class. I don't tend to stay at Motel 6. I tend to stay at Roach Motel. Pardon me. And feed me, get me there and back again, then, hey, man, I'm yours. I've been working on some essays, too, that hopefully will make people know what exactly I'll be talking about. But you know quite a bit about it just from the podcast. And you can tell me what you want me to talk about, what subject you would like me to talk about. And I'll take you there. I'll go there. We'll tell stories. We'll have a lot of fun. Because it's just a good time. I've spoken to huge groups and small ones, like I said before. And I kind of like a group of probably 15 to 20 is my best, I think. I'm okay at public speaking to a large group. You know, I do breakout sessions. I'd be glad to do breakout sessions for you on whatever you want me to do it on. It's great. And I will try to make some of the episodes coming up to try to be more examples of what I would do, of what you can hope to get out of me, in addition to what you've already heard before. This is Jay Nemro. This is, I think this is number 611. Let me get my pointer down here. This is another appeal to get me going. 575-461-2716. Have a great day.